Our next guest noticed something about famous writing and literature from the Midwest. Most of it takes place in the past. So he set out to create an updated, contemporary Midwestern reading list, taking a look at what's changed and what hasn't.
Mark Anitakis is a book reviewer and the author of The New Midwest, a guide to the contemporary fiction of the Great Lakes, Great Plains, and Rust Belt. And he joins us now. Mark, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
So when did you first notice there seemed to be this hole in the canon of Midwest literature that this was all in the past and there wasn't quite as much in the future looking at where the Midwest is today?
Well, I've been working as a book reviewer for about the past 10, 15 years, and I think there's been this habit amongst many reviewers when you talk about the fiction of the Midwest, they'll say, well, yes, the great fiction writers like Willa Cather or Theodore Dreiser or Saul Bellow or Nelson Algren, and it felt like there wasn't a lot of conversation about the Midwest as it exists in the late 20th century, let alone the 21st century. And you know, in parallel to that, there are a lot of novelists who are working now who are setting their novels in the past. That you know, if you think of writers like Toni Morrison or Ward Just or a host of others, looking back into Midwestern history. So I wanted to explore, are we really kind of stuck in a rut with our contemporary fiction looking in the past, or are we actually being a little more future-focused? And I do conclude that, you know, through looking at the past, a lot of our fiction writers are trying to reassess how true those older kind of cliched values about the Midwest really do exist.
Yeah, what were those old ideas about what it was to be Midwestern? I imagine it's things like stoicism and hard work and something leaning toward, as you call it in the book, churchiness. What else was there?
Yeah, I think you can throw some of this at the feet directly at Laurel Ingalls Wilder, who, as you probably know, set her early Little House novels in Wisconsin, right on the border on the Mississippi River. I think it's interesting to read them now because they are books about children, but they are predominantly books about work and hard work and keeping the homestead running. And that, I think, has been one of the more enduring stories that we tell about the Midwest. And I think we kind of neglect other aspects of it as a result of that. I think even if you see a novelist more contemporary like Marilynne Robinson, reviewers will say, well, you know, she speaks to these, you know, home and hearthy Midwestern values. And it's almost eliding the fact that she writes a lot about problems with race and struggles with religion and fractured families and prostitution. You know, I think kind of escaping this notion of the Midwest as exclusively hardworking and nuclear family and churchy, it's been a difficult one to escape.
Well, something nostalgic about that, too, and maybe reassuring if you're a certain kind of reader looking for a certain kind of experience that there is this place where it seems like maybe time hasn't changed. But has it changed? I mean, is there some truth to those old home and hearthy ideas?
I think certainly there are a lot of novelists who, you know, will look at that and want to support it. I mean, I think, you know, certainly if you going back to Marilynne Robinson, I mean, I think that, you know, one thing that people really kind of cling to and embrace about her is that, you know, she writes in this very straightforward four-square style. You know, I think there's also you know, an urge to write about family that is of interest in the Midwest. I write that even though a lot of writers are interested in the past, there's been this great blossoming of Detroit fiction that is set in the present and certainly addressing what's happening now. Look at a novel like Angela Flournoy's The Turner House about an African-American family that is trying to navigate through what's happened in the recession and try to keep the family together, you know, in the midst of what's happened economically to the entire city and the impact it's had on that family. You know, I think those stories still do get out there. I think, though, they do have a little bit of an edge to them.
We're talking right now with Mark Anitakis, the author of The New Midwest, a guide to the contemporary fiction of the Great Lakes, Great Plains, and Rust Belt. And we're talking about contemporary Midwest fiction that takes place in the now, or at least the recent now. And Mark, let's dive into some of that. What are some books that redefine this Midwest writing genre?
I would say, to look at one particular category, I think maybe one that most everybody has heard of, think of Gillian Flynn, who I think her reputation is as writing these very twisty, dark thrillers, but she's a a scholar of the Midwest. Gone Girl is set in Missouri. Her other two books are set in, you know, that region, Missouri and Kansas as well. And she's responding to the ways that, you know, the industrial economy has sort of faded. I mean, you know, it's become sort of a symbol of difficulty and hard luck. Another writer I would recommend would be Bonnie Jo Campbell, who writes about contemporary lives in the middle of Michigan, or Philip Myers' American Rust, which is a great study of life in Rust Belt, Pennsylvania. I think a lot of these writers are really trying to look at, okay, what does it mean to have a community and be in a community when you don't have those tent poles of manufacturing, or necessarily the church, or schools, or the other relationships that I think sort of defined the region in the earlier part of the 20th century.
Jonathan Franzen is a name, is a big name, and he tends to write about families, which makes you think he's sort of these Midwestern values. He lives himself on the West Coast now, but where does he fit in all this?
You know, he's sort of a quirky example. I think he started out his career with a novel called The 27th City, which was about his native St. Louis. And I think he was striving to make a big splash, write this sort of family story, but also this novel that has a lot of, like, Thomas Pynchon-like swagger and weirdness to it. And I think as he's evolved as a writer, he's tried to look more specifically about families. You know, certainly a novel like The Corrections is very much about that push and pull of, you know, what does it mean to try to break away from that those Midwestern roots that you have, and how valuable are they when you keep them? But, you know, his characters always feel, much like Franzen himself, seems to be very conflicted about that place. It's a place where you know that it defines you, but it's also a place that you want to get away from a little bit.
That reminds me a little bit of Laurie Moore, who was a professor at the UW-Madison for a long time with a huge international profile, wrote for The New Yorker a lot, and she set her writing, a lot of it, not all of it, but in towns that really resembled Madison and the university town here. And it wasn't necessarily a place you wanted to be. It was quirky and dark and sometimes not that pleasant.
Yeah, and I seem to recall also that when Laurie Moore had left the University of Wisconsin, there was a little bit of resentment among some in the community. I think somebody had written an angry letter saying, good riddance, Laurie Moore, that you weren't really engaged in our community. And maybe that's, I don't know how true that is, but I think that speaks to a little bit of that, you know, how much you cling to the notion of what you want out of, you know, your fiction in the Midwest. Think also of, in my book, I write about two books that were directly inspired by a book that you perhaps know, Michael Lisi's Wisconsin Death Trip, which is a collection of photographs and news stories that came from Black River Falls, Wisconsin in the late 1800s. It's all very bleak. It's very much about, you know, disease and death and shootings and suicides and so forth. And there are a couple of remarkable dark novels that were inspired by that. One would be Stuart Onan's A Prayer for the Dying, which is set in one of these quarantine communities at the time, and Robert Gulrich's A Reliable Wife, which is this very gothic marriage story that involves arsenic and poisoning and bad love and bad romance. And I found myself very drawn to stories that try to kind of upend that sort of, you know, the familiar story that we have, and that darken it up a little bit.
What about, this is a book I read, and we're getting short on time here, but The Art of Fielding, which took place in a fictionalized Wisconsin town and a university town, and it did seem to have some of that old-fashioned Midwestern sensibility, but it had some new stuff, too.
Yeah, and I found that book a little bit frustrating and maybe a little bit apart from my thesis, too, because it felt like, in many ways, a very East Coast sort of book, because it's it was the campus was very inspired by Herman Melville, and that dealt a little bit more with sexuality issues and baseball issues. So I thought of it a little bit less as a novel about place. But I mean, I think, you know, there are novelists too, like, you know, say Richard Powers, who, you know, set their novels, you know, very directly in the Midwest, but also just more novelists of ideas. They're kind of struggling with more of the intellectual, technological issues that come in as well. I think that just may speak to the fact that, you know, Midwestern fiction is not really stuck in the sort of rut that I think a lot of people think it may be.
Mark, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Mark Anitakis, author of The New Midwest, a guide to the contemporary fiction of the Great Lakes, Great Plains, and Rust Belt. He's a regular book reviewer for The Washington Post, The LA Times, and Barnes & Noble Review. His Reading from the Midwest column appears in Belt magazine.
Coming up after the news, a look at the rise of stop and frisk policing in America. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.